Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Pei Vav. We're going to begin 5 lines at the top with the words Toshma. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Charlotte Lukin. That's Michael Lukin's mom, Cherna Bas Yaakov Moshe Halevi. All the Neshamas been learned for 7 Aliyah. So we quoted in yesterday's Gemara on the Amud Beis, Pehe Amud Beis, the statement Amar Rav Gagin Va'alios Lo Niskachu. Rav had said that the rooftops and the attics, the second floors, didn't have Kedusha of Yerushalayim. So we tried to disprove that yesterday, and we weren't successful. We'll try again today. We also won't be successful. But we begin, Toshma, 5 lines from the top, quoting the following Braisa. Abishol Omer, Abishol tells us, Aliyaz Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim, the second floor of the Heichal, the Kodesh Kadoshim area, the Heichal included within the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadoshim. So above the Kodesh Kadoshim, there was a second floor. And the Kedusha of that second floor was actually even holier, Chamura, Mibeis Kodesh HaKadoshim, than the ground floor, Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the second story was actually more Kedusha than the Kodesh Kadoshim that was underneath it. Now, why is that? Where does Abishol get that from? So he says, because Shabbos Kodesh HaKadoshim Kohen Golden Nichlo Pamachas Bashana. In the bottom area, in the Kodesh Kodashim, you only allowed to go in there one time a year, as Rashi points out, in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Golden went in there to do the Ketores and to do the various blood offerings, Bein Habadim, from the Par and the Sor of Yom Kippur. So the Kohen Golden was only allowed to go in there once every year on Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, the Kedusha of the upper chambers above the Kodesh Kodashim were even holier, because there you weren't allowed to go in even once a year. V'aliyas be'kodesh ha'kodashim ein nechnasin lo ela pamachas ba'shavua. A shavua here means a Shemitah cycle, Rashi explains. So you're only allowed to go there once every 7 years into the chambers above the Kodesh Kodashim. Others disagree. Others say not once every 7 years. It was twice every 7 years. V'aim lo pamayim b'shavua. Twice every 7 years. And others say no, it was once a yovel. V'aim lo pamachas ba'yovel. So in the upper chambers, you could go in there at the most twice every 7 years. One opinion says only once every 7 years, and one opinion says once every 50 years. And the only reason you're allowed to go there was Leda Mahi Tzricha, to see if any repairs needed to be done. As Rashi says, Shemo Tiboka Choma, maybe the walls were cracked or broken, but Tzricha Tikkun, so you need some sort of repair. Alma Alios Niskachu. So not only is it a area that's not consecrated, it actually is consecrated even more Kedusha than the Kodesh Kedoshim. So this is a Kashan Rav. Rav said that the Aliyos, the second floors, are not consecrated, they're not Kadosh, and here you see that the Aliyah of the Kodesh Kedoshim, the second floor above it, was consecrated even holier than the Kodesh Kedoshim. It's a Kashan Rav. So Rav says, no, it's not a Kashan. Amar Yosef. Rav Yosef says it's not a problem, because the Heichal itself had a certain Kedusha to it that was given by the Torah. It says specifically in Nach that there was Kedusha over here. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, you're going to ask Akasha and Rab from the Heichal, the second area, second floor above the Kodesh Kedoshim, Me Heichal, Neikom, you're going to go bring me a Shaila from the Heichal, the Nesiv Inish, and you're going to ask a Teyufta, you're going to ask me Akasha on a man, on Rab? No. Shiny Heichal. The Heichal is different because you have Psukim. The Psukim tell us, in Divrei Yamim, and this is where David instructs Shlomo how to build the Beis HaMikdash. David wasn't allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, but he purchased the land and he took care of everything to prepare for Shlomo to make the Beis HaMikdash. And he worked closely with Nosson HaNavi in order to find out where the Beis HaMikdash should be located and the structures of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says by the Beis HaMikdash, Tichsiv, Vayitin David l'Shlomo b'no, as Tavnis Ulam. He gave to Shlomo the plans for the Ulam, which was the antechamber to the Heichal, the Ezebotav, and all the structures, all the houses with inside the Heichal, the Gan Zakov, are various rooms inside there as well, because they would store things in, Bali Yosef, and the second floors, the Chadorov, and all the Chadorim, all the other rooms inside there, Hapnimis, Ubei Sakaporis, as well as the way that you're supposed to cover up the Aron that held the Luchos. So this is what the Pesukim in Divrei Yom say, and then it says further, Usiv HaKol B'Chsav, Miyad Hashem, Olai Hiskil. Everything was given over by the Navi Nosson, to David, so it came straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this has, like Xeris HaKasu, this has a specific Kedusha to it that all the other Aliyos do not have. So you can't bring me a Kasha from the Aliyos of the Heichal, because that you have Pesukim to tell us that they're Kodesh. But the default position is all the other Aliyos and Gagos is just like Rav said, they don't have intrinsic Kedusha to them. So this Toshma is not a Raya against Rav. Try again. Toshma, learn in the Mishnah and Maaseh Sheni the following. It says, Halishkos Habinuyos BaKodesh, all the areas that you had that were built into the Kodesh. So these rooms had openings, one of two possibilities. Either they opened up into the Azara, or they opened up only outside the Azara, on the Harabayis, but didn't have an opening into the Azara. They didn't have, most situations, double doors. There was one chamber, the Beis Hamoka, that did have entrance and exit, so there, that had a separate status to it, which we're not going to discuss over here. But all the other chambers, all these other lishkos, all these other offices, they had either an opening into the Heichal, or they had an opening into the Har HaBayis, but not both. So the Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni tells us, Halishkos Habinuyos BaKodesh, those they were physically located in the Kodesh, but they didn't have an opening into the Azara. Upsuchos Lachol, they only had an opening into non-Azara places, the Harabayis. So the status of these Lishkos was Tochen Chol. The inside is not considered like the Azara, it's Chol, it's relatively unconsecrated. Oh, Harabayis is consecrated, but this is relatively unconsecrated compared to the actual Azara. However, the Gagos say in Kodesh, but their top of these chambers, the rooftop, did have Kedusha of the Azara. So this is a direct Kasha on Rav. Here it says, Beferish, that the Gagos of these Lishkos that opened up to the Harabayis, so the Gag was in fact Kodesh. So Kasha on Rav. So Mor says, that's not a problem. Tirgum Ruchista, you know what we're talking about? Vishagago saying, Shovin Lekarka Azara, because the rooftop over here was actually flush with the ground of the Azara. In other words, this chamber was underground. So the chamber itself was underneath the level of the Azara, and the rooftop was on the level of the Azara, inside the Azara, and therefore it had the halachic status. The Gagos had the halachic status of the Azara, and the chamber, which was underneath the floor of the Azara, that only opened up to the rest of the Harabayis, had the status of being chol compared to the Azara. Mor says, well, keep on reading that Mishnah, then you have a problem. Later on in the Mishnah, it says, Yihachi Hema Seifa, the Mishnah continues and it says, Binuyos Bachol, if these chambers were built in the Harabayis, not in the Azara, but Upsuchos LaKodesh, but their opening was into the Kodesh, so then, Tochen Kodesh. In fact, the inside of these chambers did have the halachic status of the Azara, but here, Vagak was saying chol, and the rooftops were chol. But you just told me that the rooftop was flush with the Azara, so how could that possibly be? If you're telling me that the rooftop is flush with the Azara, and it's in the Azara, so how do they mechilos? So then, these chambers are mechilos, they're tunnels, they're passageways underneath the Azara, and we have learned, the Amr of Yochanan, Mechilos Lo Niskachu, that these passageways, these areas underneath the Azara, do not have Kedusha. But here you're telling me that they do have Kedusha. So what's going on over here? If the Gag is Shavah to the Kark of the Azara, so why would the Gag be Chol? And underneath it, how can you tell me that it's Kodesh? So Gemara says, no. When Rav Yochanan made his statement, Kikom Rav Yochanan, he was talking about Bipsuchos Laharabayis. He was talking about those chambers, those tunnels, that did not have an opening into the Azara. They only had an opening onto the Harabayis. And there, in that situation, they are not going to be Kodesh. But here, we're talking about different chambers, not the ones that Rav Yochanan was talking about here. Kitanya Hi, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, we're talking about Bipsuchos the Azara. They open up into the Azara, so they do have, in fact, the Kedusha of the Azara. Mor says, that's not true. Votanya, a Braisa tells us, Yehuda Omer, Mechilos mitachas heichal chol, that all of the Mechilos underneath the heichal are chol, implying that it doesn't make any difference where they're entering or exiting. So Gemara says, no, that also, Kitanya hi, Shepsuchos Lachol. Again, Rav Yehuda is saying, like we explained, Rav Yochanan, he's only talking about the ones that are not opening up into the Azara. If they open up into the Azara, so then they are considered Kodesh. It's the ones that both Rav Yehuda and Rav Yochanan were talking about, that the Mechilos Lo Niskachu, it's talking about ones that did not open up into the Azara, they only opened up into the Harabayis. So therefore, there is no problem with Rav's statement. Rav is still consistent to say that the typical Gagosain is not considered Kodesh. It's only these that were flush with the Azara under certain situations that are going to be considered Kodesh. Try again. Toshma, keep on reading the Braisa that we just brought down that Rabbi Yehuda spoke. So it said, Toshma v'gagel kodesh. I only addressed the answer that we had said that underneath it, it was not kodesh, because it was in that situation, we said because it opened up into the Harabayis. But he also seemed to say that the gagos there are in fact kodesh. But according to Rav, those gagos shouldn't be kodesh. Sumor says, "V'tizbra, really, you think so? V'aktani, gagin halolu, these gagin that were the top of the heichal, ain't ochlin sham kochi kodoshim, ain't shochetim sham kochim kalim." So how can you tell me the Rav Yehuda holds that gago is kodesh? We see later on in that very brisa, Rav Yehuda says, "Well, no, I didn't really mean it." He seems to be contradicting himself. He's saying that these gagin, which you're telling me are gago kodesh, then you're telling me they're not really kodesh because you can't go and eat kochi kodoshim. Well, you must eat kochi kodoshim in the azara. So these gagin, these gagos that are on top of the heichal, do not have the halachic status of the azara because you can't eat kochi kodoshim over there, and they likewise don't have the halachic status of the azara, and that you can't go shech kochim kalim over there. Kochi kodoshim have to be shechted in a certain part of the azara. They have to be shechted on the northern side of the azara. The kochi kalim could be shechted anywhere in the azara, but we don't allow you to shech them on the top of the heichal because the gagim do not have kedusha. So how can you tell me gago kodesh is a stira within Rabbi Yehuda? Rashi has a good point over here. He says, why don't we say that this is the same thing that we said before, that Nasan HaNavi said this is how it's built, so it automatically has Kedusha, because that's what it says in Divrei HaYamim, that Nasan HaNavi said that this has Kedusha to it. So he says, you can't give this answer over here, because the Gagos weren't written over there. It only talked about the Alios. It didn't mention the Gag, so therefore you can't say anything from Nasan HaNavi about the Gag. So we're left with our contradiction. You're trying to tell me it's a kasha and Rav. It's actually an internal contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says in one place that it has status of kodesh, gagel kodesh, but then he says, but it's not really kodesh. You can't go and eat kochi kodesh over there, and you can't shecht kochi kalim over there. So what must you say? It's obviously not a stira within Rabbi Yehuda. Ela kasha gagel kodesh. How are you going to answer this? The point that you say it's not kodesh, but the ratio you said it is kodesh. So it's very simple. Teretz Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Laosan Shtei Amos, that this area on top of the heichal had a certain level of kedusha to it, not the kedusha of the azara. But when he says gago kodesh, it meant that you're allowed to go store utensils over there. Now Tosus points out the utensils that we're about to tell us aren't the utensils that were stored over there. They're just giving us an example that they had certain utensils that didn't have the kedusha enough to be in the actual azara. You stored certain utensils in the azara. They had certain spaces in the azara where they stored the utensils that they used on a regular basis. It brings down also there were 93 utensils that they stored there that they used on a regular basis. So those were stored in the azara itself. But there were other utensils that didn't have the kedusha that was necessary to allow them to be stored in the azara, but they still had a certain level of kedusha to them, so they were stored in such areas that we're now about to describe, one of which would have been the gag on top of the heichal. But the kelim that we're now talking about, that Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Laosan Shtei Amos, those two kelim that had a measurement, they were like measuring rods of an amma, we'll see that there were two of them, and each had a slightly different measuring amount of an amma, and we'll see why in a moment, but those kelim are the types of kelim that we're talking about that they stored on top of the heichal. So it had a certain kedusha that it allowed those types of kelim to be stored there, but not the kedusha of the azara, and therefore there's no stira within Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what were these two amos? Tithnan. We learned in a different Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Kalim, which tells us that these two amos, Shtei Amos, Hayu B'Shushan Habira. There was a gate known as the Shushan Habira gate. And this, Rashi tells us, the reason why it was called the Shushan Habira gate was because the Gemara in Menachos tells us, Kidei Shiasu Mehechon Bo. They should remember where they came from. That they came from Golus, and that they should remember that. The Rabbeinu Chananel expands further, and he says that there's a machlokis in Menachos between Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi and Rav Chista. We don't know which one said which. Chadamar Kadeshi Yedu Mehechem Bo, like Rashi just said, which means Kolomar, he tells us, Babino Sechem Galisim Lebavo, because of your sins you went to Bavel, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from there. Vata Misham Alisem, the Chosman Shirono saw Hatsura Zokrin Hagolus. So one of these two on the right, either Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi or Rav Chista said that it's a constant reminder to us that because of our sins we went in the Golus, and we should tell it to our children, and they'll tell it to their children, and this will remind us that we better do the right things in order that we should maintain the Beis HaMikdash and stay here and not go into Golus. So that's why it was called Shushan Abira, the gate, we'll see, this was on the eastern wall coming in from up to the Harabayis, so they had this tzura of Shushan Abira there. That was one of the reasons they had it. The other one, either Rav Yitzchak Redim or Rav Chisda said, V'chadamar, k'dei shetehei emas malchus aleihem, that they should constantly have the fear of the government upon them. Kolomar, afapi shanu kan, even though we're here, you should remember that we're still tachas malchus poras anu, that we're still underneath the subjugation of the Persians, of malchus poras. So either one of these two was the reason why the Shushan Abira was depicted over there. They have pictures of Shushan Abira above this gate. So where was this gate? This gate was on the eastern entrance into the Harabais. And these two amos, these two measuring sticks, each of them measuring a different type of the distance called the Amma. So Achas al-Keren Mizrach Sifonis, one of them was on the northeastern side of the gate. The gate was coming up from the east going towards the west. So one was on the northeastern side of the gate. Achas al-Keren Mizrach Sifonis. The other was on the southeastern side of this gate. Now, Zush al-Keren Mizrach Sifonis, the one that was on the northern eastern side of this Shushan Abira gate, Haisa Yesera al Shomoshe Chatzi Etzba. This was larger than the Am of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Am of Moshe Rabbeinu was 6 Tvachim, so this was 6 Tvachim plus a half of an Etzba. We'll explain in a moment why they added on to this length. So it was 6 full Tvachim and also a half of an Etzba. Each Tefach is made up of 4 Etzbos, which we've mentioned many times as 4 thumbs, or it could be 5 middle fingers or 6 pinkies. They're all roughly the same measure. Let's just stick with 4 thumbs. So this tefach is made up of 4 etzbas. So the 6 tefach is made up of 24 etzbas and a half of an etzba. So it's 24.5 etzbos, as opposed to 24.0 etzbos. Vezush al kerem mizrach is deromis, the one that was on the southeastern side of the top of the Shushan Abira area. It was an additional chatzi etzba bigger. So this one was 25 etzbos in total, compared to the first one that was 24 and a half, compared to the standard arm of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was 24 etzbos. Nimtzes, Yisera, Moshe, etzba. So the second one was a full etzba, longer than Moshe Rabbeinu's 24 etzba arma. This was a 25 etzba arma. The largest one and the middle one was 24 and a half etzbos. Why did you need all these measures? Why was one 24 and a half etzbos? Why was one 25 etzbos? Because you had workers that were constantly dealing in transactions with materials with the Beis HaMikdash, and we want to make sure that nobody was moil. So it's like you go into the bakery and you buy a pound of cookies, so they give you an extra cookie or two, so you're more than a pound. They don't want to under give you. They don't want to give you 0.99 of a pound. They want to give you 1.01 of a pound. They're more than happy to give you a little bit more. They don't want to give you less than you paid for. So to the Beis HaMikdash, here would be a bigger problem of Me'ila. If, for example, the Beis HaMikdash bought from you an Amma's worth of building material and you only gave them 0.99, so then you were moel on that extra money. So you'd rather give them 1.01, and this way there is no concern. So they use these two measuring sticks when they're purchasing something from the Beis HaMikdash, so they would use the smaller measurements because they wanted the yad of the Beis HaMikdash to be higher. When you're selling something to the Beis HaMikdash, they use the larger measure in order that the Beis HaMikdash hand should be on the top. Now, the obvious question is, why do you need both? So first of all, I already mentioned, but the Gemara says, k'dei shelo yavo l'demi'il. The whole purpose of this is you shouldn't, by accident, take more from the Beis HaMikdash than you were entitled to. But why do you need two measures? Just take one larger measure. So use the measure of Moshe when the Beis HaMikdash is going and giving something to a person. So then use the smaller measure, so the person should pay more and get less. So the person's not going to be bald. And use a larger measure when the Beis HaMikdash is purchasing some measure from a person. Then use the larger measure so the Beis HaMikdash gets more and the person's not mole. Why need two different measures? With Tati Lomeli. So Gemara says it depends what you're selling. Achas Likaspa Vidava. The smaller of the two larger measurements, the 24.5, that's the one, that's when dealing with purchasing gold or silver. So you don't need to have a huge amount extra because the value of the gold and silver is so much. If you're using, you're buying an amma's worth, so you'll, if the Beis HaMikdash is buying the gold from the person, so they'll measure it out with the 24.5 to make sure that they're getting a little bit more, but you don't have to give them 25 etzbos. The 24.5 for something that's very precious, like gold and silver, you just need a little bit of a bigger measure to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash is not getting less than it paid for. And when you're dealing with, let's say, construction material, you're dealing with bricks or something else where it's not so valuable, so then you want to use a larger measure. V'yachas l'binyona, when you're using non-precious materials that you're purchasing, so you want to make guaranteed that the Beis HaMikdash is not overpaying, so there you use the 25 etzba measure. Fine. we clearly see from here that Rab is correct, and that the area on top of the Heichal, the Gagos, were in fact not Kadosh. And when we said that they had a status of Kedusha, them Gagos Kadosh, when Yehuda said that, he wasn't referring to real Kedusha, he was referring to a lesser level of Kedusha, not Kedusha of the Azara, but still a level of Kedusha, no stira to Rab, because Rab said it doesn't have the status of the Kedusha of the Azara. Now the Mishnah is telling us, our Mishnah, Tanan, Hachalonos, Va'ove Hachama Kilifnin. We said in our Mishnah that the windows, the space of the window itself, and the top of the walls themselves, had the status of being like the Azara Kilifnin. So now, we have a question. Bishlam Hachalonos, I can understand how the space of the windows themselves, that could have the status of the Azara, because like we just said, how could a Gag sometimes have the status of the Azara? And when it was flush with the Azara, so too the windows were flush with the Azara. So therefore, Mishkachaslo, the Shavi Lekarka Azara. So that's how these windows, the space of the window itself, which is flush with the Karka of the Azara, that could have the Kedusha of the Azara. No problem. However, El Ovi Achoma, the top of the walls were very, very tall. The walls, it tells us, are 40 amah tall. Amah Rosh Achoma Niskadesh, the Domo Legagim Valios, how could that possibly be? The top of the walls is very, very high. Hechli Mishkachas Lo, can't be flush with the floor of the Azara. So how could it possibly be? So the word says, no, it is possible, because you're dealing with what type of wall? Mishkachas Lo. Bebar Shura, with a small supporting type of a wall, as the pasuk tells us, Dechsiv in Echa, Vayadel Chel V'choma, that the walls themselves, so to say, were in mourning. The Chel and the Choma are two types of walls. Amar Rabbi Acha, Vitem Rabbi Chanina, using the Rav Acha, Rabbi Chanina, that said that this Chel V'choma are a Shura, a wall, Ubar Shura, and a smaller wall. And this smaller wall is like a supporting wall. This supporting wall, since the Azara, you're going up, when you walk from the entrance into the Azara, the entrance coming in off Shar Niknor, and you come up the 15 Shira Malos, and you enter into the Ezra Yisrael, so then you're going to go into the Ezra Kohanim, you're going up, then you're going in further towards the Mizbeach, you're going up further, you're going towards the Ulam, you're going up further. So it was on an incline up, and there were steps up. Each area was flat, and there were steps up to the next flat area. So if you had a supporting wall, so part of the top of the supporting wall could be flush with the karka, and therefore that's what it's referring to, that the top of the wall, which is flush with the karka of the Azara, that has the status of the Azara itself, and therefore there is no problem in saying that the space of the windows or the top of the wall has the status of the Azara. That concludes this sugya, and now we start the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah tells us more about the din of the Korban Pesach. The Mishnah tells us, Shtei chaburas shehayu ochlin b'vayis echad. If you had two chaburas from the same Korban Pesach, Rashi says, Pesach Echad, V'bayis Echad. They're both eating the Korban Pesach, these two groups, from the same Korban Pesach, in the same house, so they're allowed to go and separate. That's not a problem. And Elu Hofchen es Pneim Heluch V'Ochlin, V'Elu Hofchen es Pneim Heluch V'Ochlin. And they're separate. This group is over here, that group is over there. It's not a problem, even in the same house, to have these two groups as, quote, separate groups of the Korban Pesach. As Rashi says, Einon Tzrichim L'Hosev, Elu k'neged Elu. They don't have to be all together. Leo's nearing k'chabur achas, that they're like one chabura, even though it's from the same Korban Pesach. Elu rashoin lahafok p'neim Elu eluch v'Elu eluch. They each can turn away, so to say, and make themselves into separate groups. V'afilu nearing k'shtei chaburas, even though they're now looking like they're two separate chaburos, lo ich patlon. According to the Tana of our Mishnah, it's not a problem, as we'll see in the Gemara, k'dialef b'Gemara, sha'pesach nechal af b'shtei batim l'shtei chaburas. It can be eaten. The same Korban Pesach can be eaten in two houses, even in two chaburas. So it's not a problem. And we'll explain why the Tanna Kamma holds like this. We'll see that the Tanna Kamma is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll see his understanding of why this is so. Now, the Mishnah continues and it says, you have a mecham be'emtza. Rashi says that the purpose of this mecham was to go and dilute their wines. Shemecham bochamin, they would heat up hot water in this mecham, in this little stove, shemozgin bo hayayin, they would dilute their wine. Their wine came very raw, undiluted wine. It couldn't be drunk the way it was, and they had to dilute it. They would dilute it with hot water. And this way, they would be able to drink the wine. Certain dilution, either 2-1 or 3-1, we discussed this elsewhere. In any event, so now, they would have this mecham, which is like a mechitza in between the two chaburas. So that's not a problem either. Rashayin l'seis be'emtza, kidei she'enoch l'shamish ha'mishamish l'shteyem limzog misham. Lekan ulekan. It's not a problem of having this seeming mechitza, this mecham, this little oven in between them that would keep the hot water on it, and that was a separation between the groups, not a problem. You don't have to go change it around for the rest of the year when they would do this, when they had two groups and the shamash in between, to make it easy on the shamash to heat up the wine, the water for their wine to be diluted. So they did this all year long. They could do this now with the Korban Pesach. Again, even though it's a separation between the two chaburos, it doesn't bother us. Okay, shamish meshamish l'shteyem, and the shamish is serving both of these two groups. Omed mechabura achas hiskel lecholima menapesach limzom lechabura cheres. Now the shamish has to be included in one or two groups. He's a Jewish guy. He's eating the Korban Pesach. He's serving as the waiter that night, so he's only allowed to eat with one of the two groups. So even though his oven with the kettle is right in between them, it's not a problem. He eats with one of the groups, and as we'll see in a second in the Mishnah, he doesn't eat with the other group. So what does he do? Kishashamish omed limzog, when he goes to go and dilute the wine in group A, so he's eating in group B. So Kofitz is piv, when he's going to serve group A, he has to close his mouth and not eat, umaser is ponav, and he has to face towards group B, which is his chabura, and he shouldn't eat anything, he should keep his mouth closed and not eat anything until he gets back to group B. And when he gets back to group B, then he continues eating from the Korban Pesach Yochol, because you're only allowed to eat from one Korban Pesach. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and tells another din. This other din over here is dealing with Akala. Akala, who's newly married. So Akala, Hofeches is Panel V'Yocheles. Even though she's eating within a certain Chabura, she's allowed to turn her face away. As Rashi points out, Shainu Bosha, she's embarrassed to be seen by everybody. So therefore, Rasho Lahafoch Panel Litzad Acher. Everybody's looking at the Kala, so she doesn't want everybody to see her eating. It's an embarrassing position. Everybody's staring at her while she's eating. And therefore, she's allowed to turn her head away and eat. And we don't say that that's considered that she's a separate chabura from, since she turned away from her group. That is allowed. Tosus, which can be found on Pei Vav Beis, tells us in Dibra Maskel Hakala, it says on the side, it's Shaykh Leomar Aleph, so it says, it's Rich Lashmina. Why are you telling me this din? That this isn't considered like two separate places. Afalpi Sha Ochla Miksa Suda Below Fichas Penel. Because the chiddush is that even though she didn't turn away the whole time, because the reisha of the Mishnah said, you're allowed to eat the same Korban Pesach two chaburas. So if she turned away the whole time, so she's like a separate chabura. So the chiddush is, even though she didn't turn away the entire time, some of the time she turned away, some of the time she's not, it's not considered for the kala to be a separate chabura and not a problem. Alternatively, Tos says, Inami, kamashmon d'chayevus lafo panecha, kidama gemara kala tanan. So the other chiddush over here is that, not that she's allowed to, is that she must. It's proper for her to turn her face away from everybody else, as the Mishnah is telling us here, Kala Hofekas. It's not she's allowed to, it's that she should, out of tznius purposes. So we begin the Gemara. The Gemara says, Masnis in Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? I already pointed out, Rabbi Yehuda, it is Rabbi Yehuda. And this is based upon a machlokis that Rabbi Yehuda has with Rabbi Shimon, and it's going to be based upon a famous machlokes we have about Shas. Do we say Yesh Eim L'Masoris? Do we say that the way a word is written down in the Torah, even though we may pronounce it differently, but the spelling of the word is critical, and you can darshan it differently than the way it's pronounced based upon the Masora. The Masora is what's actually handed down to us in the actual text of the Torah, and therefore Yesh Eim L'Masoris, and that would be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Or do we hold, like Rabbi Shimon, Yesh Eim L'Mikra, the way we pronounce the word is the essential. And this will revolve around, when we read the Pasuk, B'Bayis Echad Yeyochel is the way we pronounce it. So based upon the pronunciation, it means you shall eat it in one house. So it's talking about the individual person. As opposed to Yochal, if you were to read the word Yeyochel, if you were to read it based upon the Masora, it could be pronounced Yochal, which means the Korban Pesach as opposed to the individual. So you're going to have a major machlokis over here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon based upon what is the correct understanding of the word which we pronounce Yochel. Do we go Yeshem L'Mesora, which could be Yochal, or do we say Yeshem L'Mikra, the way you pronounce it, Yeyochel, is the critical way. So let's now look inside the Psukim and see the difference between how Rabbi Yehuda darshins and Rabbi Shimon darshins based upon this principle, and therefore we'll understand that the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. So the Braisa begins. Rabbi Yehuda says as follows, the Tanya, Al habatim asher yochlu oso behem, the houses on which you will eat within it the Korban Pesach. Now, this teaches us, because it's talking about you will eat them in batim, in houses. So it's talking about two groups, obviously. You might think that the individual is allowed to eat it in two places. So therefore, tamalomer, now, this is understood based upon the principle of Yesh Ein L'Mesoris as Bavaisichot Yochal, meaning that the person himself, Yochal, he shall eat it in one house, not in two different places. So therefore, we see that a person is restricted to eating the Korban Pesach in one chabura. That's the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Braisa continues, Mikan Omru, Hashamash Ocho Kizayis Betzara Tanur. If the Shamish ate a Kizayis by the Tanur, where it's roasting, so now he's stuck. He ate a Kizayis, so that's his chabura, that's his place. So the group that he was going to eat with, which wasn't planning to eat by the Tanur, so if they wish to eat with him, he can't go to them, but they can come to him. If he's a smart person, he should finish eating over there, Mamali Kratzim Menu, because he can't eat at any place else. So he already started to eat there. He might as well finish off and eat the rest over there as well. The Imratzu Bnei Chabura. And if the rest of the people in his Chabura wish to do a Matova, so if they wish to go and eat with him, Imratzu Bnei Chabura, Lasos Imotova, Boyin Vyoshvin Bitsido. So they can go and join him over there because that will be their one place chabura. They didn't start eating it, so they don't have a place. So they could join him in his chabura because that's where they all were joined together. They were all registered on the same Korban Pesach. So therefore, they can join him and eat there by the tanur. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon darshins this pasuk differently. He says, Yesh Eim Lemikra, the pronunciation. Yei Ochel is critical. It's talking about the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Al Habatim Asher Yochlu Oso Behem, he dashes the first part of the Pasuk, teaching us, Malamed Sha Ochel, Ochel B'Shtei Mekomos, that one person is allowed to eat it in two different places. That's what the Pasuk says. Al Habatim, so it implies more than one place. Asher Yochlu, which you will eat it in more than one place. And we turn to the Amud Beis, Pei Vav Amud Beis, and therefore, I might have thought, based upon this, that a person could eat the Korban Pesach in two different groups. He's allowed to eat in two different places. You might think he can eat it with two different groups. That's why I said, Talmud Lomar, it shall be eaten in one group. And therefore, that's the machlokas over here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Michael Miflagi, the Gemara says, exactly as I've already mentioned, I got it from the Gemara. What are they arguing about? Rabbi Yehuda saw by Yeshem Lemesoris, the way that it is written down, and therefore the different pronunciation than the way we pronounce it is critical, and therefore his drasha is the way he darshins it based upon that principle, and that's the way our Mishnah darshins it, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon, who holds Rabbi Shimon Savar Yeshem Lemikra, the way he pronounced the word Yeyochel is the critical factor. Now, nafkamina between these two is as following. Can you have a separation that is either created or removed? That will be a nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, each the opposite way. What do I mean? Let's see the Gemara. Hayushal Yoshvin, there were people sitting and eating. The nivrasa mechitza b'neihem, they were sitting and eating, and then they put a mechitza up in between them. So according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Yesh Eim L'misoris, so therefore, L'divri Omer Pesach Nechal B'Shtei Chaburis, he says, you'll have to eat the Korban Pesach, the same Korban Pesach, in two different groups. You can't eat it in both groups, but two different groups can occur. So then, the fact that there's a mechitza there doesn't make any difference. Oakland, it's not a problem. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who says, Yesh Eim L'mikra, L'divri Omer Ein HaPesach Nechal B'Shtei Chaburis, the same Korban Pesach can't be eaten in two different groups, so now you have a mechitza between them, Ein Oakland. So that's the first suggested nafkamina. Second suggested nafkamina is the exact opposite. Hayoshvin, they were sitting in two separate groups of the mechitza between them, the nistalka mechitza b'neihem, and then the mechitza is removed between them. So now you got a problem the exact opposite way. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a problem at all. L'divri Omer Ochel Ochel B'Shtei Mekomos, you're allowed to eat it in two different places. What difference does it make if you ate it with the mechitza or without the mechitza? It's still perfectly good. Ochel, they can continue to eat because that's not a problem with or without a mechitza. However, L'divri Omer Eino Ochel Ochel B'Shtei Mekomos, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're not allowed to eat it in two different places, so then you got a problem. You now went from being with a mechitza to being without a mechitza, as if you merged both of the groups, therefore Ein Ochlin. So this statement was made as a definitive statement, and in fact, Yosef Rav Kahana called Poshut Le Mifshat. Rav Kahana learned this as being a definitive statement. This is the nafkamina between the two. If you had no partition, you made a partition, or if you had a partition, remove the partition. These statements that we just made, that it's good according to Rabbi Yehuda and not good according to Rabbi Shimon, and then vice versa, good according to Rabbi Shimon and not good according to Yehuda, Rav Kahana learned them as definitive statements. On the other hand, Amale Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, v'ti boya lochi boya, don't read these as definitive statements, read these as questions. Siluk mechitza, vasiyus mechitza, if you remove a mechitza or you create a mechitza, what would be that locha? Do we consider that mihave kishnei mekomos uchshtei chaburos dami? Oh, no. Is this now considered two separate places and two separate groups or not? Does the making or the removal of the mechitza change things around? So Rav Ashi said, don't read it as this is the Psak Halacha, that in fact it's as we read it originally, and as you, Rav Kahana, are reading it, but read it as a question. What is the Halacha in both of these situations? And Rav Ashi says, Teiko, he doesn't have an answer. He says, we don't know what the answer is. Now the Rambam, he paskins over here that we have to go L'chumra in both cases. This is a Sofik D'oraisa, and you go L'chumra. So he says, you went, in both of these cases, we go L'chumra. You can't eat it in the both places, and you can't eat it in two chaburos. Now we quote the next part of the Mishnah. It said, Hakala ofeches benevuchule. The Kala is allowed to turn a face away. As we pointed out, this isn't the problem of being in a separate chabura. The first shot that we said from Tosos, even if she's sometimes facing them, sometimes not facing them, so it's not a problem of being in a separate chabura. How come? My taima. So Amar Rabbi Chiya, Barabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Shi Bosha. She's allowed to turn away because she's embarrassed. Everybody's looking at her. She's the Kala, and therefore she's embarrassed to have everybody watching her eat, and therefore she turns away. Now we have a Maisa Shehoya. Rav Huna, Berei the Rav Nosson, Ikla, Levei, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nosson, went to visit Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Now, Amule, when he got to Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak's house, so the servants asked him, the Tamidim asked him, Ma Shimcha, what's your name? So he told him, Amalehu, he didn't say Huna, he said Rav Huna. So that already set off some question marks in their mind. How come he's calling himself Rav Huna? That's an arrogant position. But we'll go weiter. The Ben Yehuda says they didn't stop him right then and there because since he was not known to them, he has a right to tell him, I'm a rabbi. So he has a right to say Rav Huna. In any event, they continued and they said, Amru, they said to Rav Huna, Nesiv Mara Puria, would the master like to sit down over here on this seat, on this couch? And he sat down. He didn't refuse. Now, again, the problem over here is it's somewhat of an arrogant position to sit on this couch as opposed to most people sat on the floor or on a low cushion, and he sat on this couch. So again, it raised eyebrows. He sat down. Then they gave him Yahavule Kasa. They gave him a cup of wine to drink, and he didn't refuse it. Kabli b'chad zimna. He took it right away. And normally the polite way is to say no, thank you, the first time. So again, it raised eyebrows. And then he drank it. V'shasi b'trei zimne below hadarape. He drank it right in front of them in two gulps, and he didn't turn his face away from them. So this, again, raised many, many questions. How could he act in this way that was not the typical way to act? So Amrule, they said to him, let's understand what you did. My taima koris loch Rav Huna. You were arrogant. Why did you call yourself Rav Huna? You should have said, my name is Huna. So Amalu, he said to them, Baal Hashem ani. No, that's my name. What does it mean, that's my name? So Rashi says that he was actually labeled as Rav Huna. He was called, as a little boy, Mikat Nusi, Kach Korinli. Everybody called him Rav Huna. And therefore, he said, my name is Rav Huna. That's what everybody calls me. Not because it's a title of great respect. Everybody's calling me Rav Huna. The Rabbeinu Chananel has a different shot. He says that he got smicha. He says, Pirush, nismach to be yeshiva. And therefore, I have the right to be called Rav. Ubeza Hashem, ani yodua. And that's how I'm known. Lefikach, Omar, Baal Hashem, ano, klomar, somuch v'yeshivani. He says, I'm entitled to tell you that I have smicha. And that's why he said, my name is Rav Huna. Fine. So, Gemara continues, my time, they asked him, ki omuloch, nesev apurya. Why, when we asked you, would you like to sit on the couch? And the response to that should have been, no, thank you, I'll sit on the floor like everybody else. You sat down on the couch. That's, again, an arrogant answer. Why did you do this? So Amalu, he told him, I didn't have a choice. You're supposed to do anything that the Bala boss tells you to do. In other words, if you're a guest at somebody's house and he asks you to do something, you should do it. With the exception, then you know, that brings down. If it's something that would be disparaging or something that would be inappropriate or it was something for the person's wife, so you shouldn't have chashad. So in that situation, you're allowed to refuse. But otherwise, you're allowed to and should listen to what the Bala boss asked you to do. So he said, I didn't have a choice. He told me to sit on the couch, so I sat on the couch. I wasn't doing it because of arrogance. I was doing it because of this principle that he's supposed to listen to a Bala bais who asked you to do something. Now, we have in parentheses over here, chutz mitzei. And there's an interesting discussion what this means. Some say that this should be deleted over here. But the Mate Moshe brings down that, for example, if you're a guest in his house, so you don't have to leave right away, you're allowed to go. If he tells you to leave, so you're allowed to go pack your stuff up and leave. You're not mechuyev to leave that second. Alternatively, some suggest if he tells you, go out and buy me some, if he says, please, say, go out and get me this, so then you're not mechuyev to listen to him to go out and go and buy things for him. Okay, so that's why he said, I sat on the couch, because the Bala boss told me I had to sit on the couch. No, they asked him, my time, ki yavaz lo kasa, why, when we gave you the cup, ki balta b'chad zimna, you accepted it right away? The polite thing to do is to refuse right away. So Amalui said to them, no, there's another halacha, misarvin l'kotin, me misarvin l'gadol. If a lower level person tells you to do something, so then you're allowed to refuse. But if a high, important person tells you something, you're not supposed to refuse. And I'm giving you honor. I'm treating you as great people. You told me to do something, I'm doing it. Tosfos asks, why didn't we give this answer? A moment ago, with sitting on the couch. So Tosfos explains, in that situation, it was a dover gasus usrarahu. It's an arrogant and lordly type of a position. So there, you don't say, you should refuse anyway. So if it wasn't for the fact that it was the balabais that told him to do this, he should have refused it there. And that's why we didn't give that teretz over there. So in other words, over here, we're saying that he took the cup because he wanted to treat them properly. By the way, this is halacha. When the gabbai comes to you to ask you to daven or to ask to give you an aliyah, so you're supposed to demur at the beginning and say no. Second time, okay, still no. And then the third time, you go up. But if it's a gabbai rabba or it's a shas hadchak, so then you're not supposed to refuse. You're supposed to go up the first time they ask you to. Now, the Gemara continues, my tama ishtase betrays him. Nay, why did you drink in two gulps? So the Gemara says, Amalahu, he told them, because that's the din. The Tanya, hashose kos bevas achas hareiz a gargoyle. If you drink a cup in one gulp, so then you're considered like a glutton. You're considered a gargoyle, a person who is totally a glutton when it comes to food. Shnayim is derech eretz, to drink it in two sips, that's the proper way to drink a cup of wine, a reviz of wine. And shlosha, begasi ruch, if you sip it very slowly, so then you're an arrogant person. So therefore, I drank it into two sips that you're supposed to go and drink the cup of wine. Finally, they asked, why did you turn your face away? You drank right in front of us. That's not a new or dicker way to drink. My time alo adar is apach. So he told them, no, that's wrong. Amalu, he told them, only kala hofechas poneh tonight. In our mission, we learn only the kala. That implication is that everybody else doesn't have to, and therefore I didn't turn away. So Rav Huna explained all of his actions to them in a very positive way. Or it says another story. Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi once went to visit Ikla Lebei, Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya. He went to the house of Rabbi Shimon, who was the son of Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya. And Yavalei Kasa, they gave him a cup of wine to drink as well. And Kablu b'chadzimim, he also accepted it the first time, and he drank it, v'shasa b'chadzimim, but here he drank it in one gulp. He didn't go and take it in two like you're supposed to, like the normal derech eretz we just said. So they asked him, Amalei, don't you hold Lo Savar Lo Amar? Doesn't the master hold? Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, they asked him, don't you hold that Hashos Hakos B'Vasachas Hareiz Gargran? That if you drink it once, we just brought down Hashos Hakos B'Vasachas, you're a glutton, Hareiz Gargran. So why did you drink it in one gulp? So he told them, that's not an absolute rule. Amalu, he told them, that rule doesn't apply. Lo Amre, that you should drink it in two sips, you're allowed to drink it in one gulp, B'Koscha Kotten, if it's a small cup. And or if it's v'yein chamasuk, and it's very sweet wine, and it's very easy to swallow it in one gulp. Uchrei se'richava, and you're a large person. And I'm a large person. The Rashi points out that the Gemara elsewhere tells us that Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi, krei se'richava havoi. He was a large person. So therefore, a small cup, especially if it's sweet wine, for a large person is allowed to be drunk in one gulp. That's not a changing from the normal tznius and proper etiquette fashion. Finally, Gemara concludes this beautiful perek, the seventh perek in Pesachim, with the following ma'isa. Amr Rav Huna says, B'nei Chabura Nichnasim B'Shlosha. When people are going to eat the Korban Pesach together and they're going to have a servant taking care of them, so this start of the meal should be when the people come with at least three people. That's when they're allowed to start the meal. Otherwise, the waiter doesn't have to start serving them piecemeal, one by one. He can wait till at least three people come to start the meal. And the Yotzin, Afilu B'Yechad. And they're allowed to go anytime that they want. The server can't say, well, I'm not going to stick around until the last person's done. I want you all to leave now. No, even if they leave one at a time, he is mechuyev to stay there and serve them. That was the engagement that they had agreed to. So even if they're leaving one at a time, yotzen afilu b'yechad, that is allowed. As Rashi points out, kol mi shesiyem achilaso kodem, if anybody finishes first, in bo lotzeis yotza, if he wishes to go, he can leave. V'af al pikein, even though shekosha l'shamish, l'sharis yechidim l'sharim, yeah, it's difficult, he has to stick around and serve the last guy, he's taking his time to eat. No, that is the din. But, Rabba says, it depends. Who the aisle be idna the regil l'mayil. This is only true if the people entered when it's the normal time to enter. If three people enter very early, so then the shamish doesn't have to go and serve them. As Rashi says, she'eino achron marach yosef mishas sudas acherim. The person who's going to leave last is not going to tarry longer because he's not starting the meal. When the first person comes, he's waiting till the proper time for the meal and three people come. And therefore, it's not a tircha on the shamish in this situation. And this is the point. At the beginning, we don't want the shamish to have to be there very, very early and stay very, very late. So he only gets to start his job when three people show up and it's the right time for them to show up. So that's point number one that Rabbah makes. Point number two, Behu de rogash behu dai lo. Likewise, he has to be aware of what they're intending to do. As Rashi points out, shahodio l'shamash shezer darkon. Let's say it's echod echod l'fisha toreachu l'shamash hayichidim. So therefore, this has to be, so to say, prearranged. He only has to stay till the last guy leaves, if that's what they prearranged beforehand. Listen, we're going to eat together. We're starting at 8 o'clock, but some of us are going to leave faster, but some of us are going to tarry, and they're going to stay longer. You have to stay till the very last person is done. So as long as they arrange that beforehand, that's when these rules that Rav Huna said are, in fact, applicable. On Ravina says one more additional caveat. The nos din schar domim, everybody has to pay the waiter for doing his job. However, but the last guy has to give a little bit extra because he's causing the waiter to stay later. If he would leave with everybody else, then the waiter wouldn't have to stay so late. However, the last ilchus or kavase, the Gemara says that you don't have to do this because that was the deal that they had arranged beforehand. Now, just one last closing remark. Rashi points out over here that this is lav bePesach koy. This is not a din of the Korban Pesach. This is a regular meal where you're hiring a waiter. These are the rules for that. However, Tosus brings down that that's incorrect. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, in the second Dabam Tosus Nichnasin, he says, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, this is talking about Chabura Sheninu Ala Pesach. So Rashi seems to suggest that this is a fundamental rule all the time, whereas Tosus Rabbeinu Chananel suggests that this only deals with the Korban Pesach. Hadron Lecha Ketzat Solon, Hadron Lecha Ketzat Solon, Hadron Lecha Ketzat Solon. We conclude the seventh perek and today's shir.